In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration from Quirinius, was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news and great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Amen.
Thank you, Jason. I was telling Steve earlier tonight, I watched the Charlie Brown Christmas. How many of you watch the Charlie Brown Christmas? I watched that, and whenever Linus gets out there at the end, "Hey, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is about," and he starts that, I'm sitting there like, no, I'm not crying, Margie, you know, because it's a moving story. It's a moving story. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you open presents on Christmas Eve? Anybody? How many of you wait until Christmas Day? You know, it's got to be on Christmas Day. How many you've got to eat this certain food on Christmas Day? Anybody? Okay. Some people eat Mexican. Some people will eat Chinese. Some people will, just eat cereal, I guess, you know, because they're so busy and excited about opening. And I started thinking about what are some crazy traditions? And Margie and I started one, I guess, 10 years ago, and I'd never heard of it before that. And even longer than that, I guess. Oh, man, almost 20 years ago. We have, how many of you have a pickle that you hide in the tree? Okay, we do that. I didn't know what it was about, but you hide the pickle, and when our kids would come down, the one that found the pickle somewhere buried in the tree, they got an extra gift. We quit giving an extra gift and just kind of made a game out of, hey, you found the pickle, all right, you know. But I don't even know what it means. And someone said, oh, it's from Germany. And then I checked out into it. And it's like, no, it's not from Germany. They don't do that. Just as someone came up with it here in America. But we do that. So I started thinking, what are some crazy kind of tradition things around the world that just, I don't know, it just seems to kind of, I don't know, it doesn't go, I don't think. Tony, show the first one. This is in Australia, and of course in Australia, they are in summer, okay? It's summer now. So what they do is they Santa surf. They all get out on the beach, they dress up in their Santa outfits, they dress up their boards like candy canes, and they go surfing. And so you think Christmas and surfing, it's kind of a weird thing to kind of put together. All right, let's do the next one. This is in Indonesia. In Indonesia, there's not like a lot of fir trees and things like that. So what they do is they pluck chicken feathers, and they make trees like out of like little chicken feathers. And so, you know, Christmas and chicken feathers. I never thought it went together, but, it's, you know, who knows? Let's look at the next one. This is from Caracas in Venezuela. If you notice what all the ladies are doing, they're rollerblading. This is a big deal. What they do is they rollerblade to Mass on Christmas Day. And this is like crazy. How many of you rollerbladed here today? I'm just curious. Anybody? Okay, well, awesome, Hannah. Thank you. And let's see the last one, I think. This is in Japan. Japan, everybody eats Kentucky Fried Chicken. In fact, it is such a big deal, they have to put in their order in October to be able to make sure that they have chicken. You know, it's just a crazy thing. There's another weird one, and I didn't want to show the picture because it's weird. In Catalan, a part of Spain, like where Barcelona is, they have what's called the Cajuné. And the Cajuné, the actual translation means the pooper. And by what they would do is not out front so it doesn't detract from the thing, but they put like a little, if that's what you thought it meant, that's exactly what it meant. You can look it up, Cajuné. And it's, you can get it looking like famous people. You could get it looking like whoever you want. And it just kind of sits here behind the thing. He's squatting. It's like, maybe get it as a gag gift or something, but it's a real deal. And in Catalan, in that part of Spain, it's supposed to bring good luck for the new year. Go figure. We have a lot of things and a lot of traditions. For us in America, we have the commercialization of Christmas, and I get into it. In fact, Margie and I took Rhea, and we went around and we looked at lights in the neighborhood, and there's this church that has this cool thing. The music plays, you tune it to your radio, and the lights all over the church, and they dance, and I mean, it was awesome. I get into that, but you kind of contrast that with what we're celebrating, the birth of Christ. And I just started, there are these surprising combinations, you know, surfing and Christmas, I don't know, rollerblading in Christmas, the Cajuné in Christmas. It just doesn't seem to go together. Well, as I was going through Luke chapter 2, there are surprising combinations in there. And so I want to share a couple with you. The first one is there is a combination of royalty and humility. Royalty and humility. If you look in verse 4, it says this, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, house of bread, because he was of the house and lineage of David." In other words, King David, the most famous king of all of Israel, and Joseph is in his line. And they're going to Bethlehem to register for this tax. And so they're going there, and Jesus is going to be born in the line of a king. And it's like, that's awesome. And that's not even the surprising part. In fact, the angel talks to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and says this, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." In other words, from you is going to be this great king, and we would expect nothing less. I mean, God coming to earth, Emmanuel, God with us. We would expect this pomp and this circumstance, but yet we get something different. I mean, Jesus is royalty. That's not the surprising part. The surprising part is how he came. Look at verse 7. "And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." The Son of God is born and placed in a feeding trough, And there's debate. Was it made out of stone? Was it made out of wood? Was it in a house? Was it in a cave? And none of that really matters. The fact is that he was not born where royalty is born. I had the chance, Margie and I had the chance to go to Istanbul or Constantinople. You can sing the song in your head if you want. It only matters to the Turks. But the point is, when you go and see some of the palaces and things there, they have what's called a purple room. And in that purple room is where the king would be born. Oh, this is going to be born into royalty in the purple, going to be born in the purple. And yet Jesus is born and placed in a feeding trough among the animals and the least important. What it means for us, the God who is the King knows what it's like to be us, and he is not out of touch. Show the next slide. This is from King Charles. King Charles made a speech in 2023, and this is what he says. My government will continue to take action to bring down inflation, to ease the cost of living for families. Show me the picture of King Charles. And nothing speaks that he knows what's going on with the people than that crown. He's probably never even seen a gallon of milk, and yet he knows what the price of milk is for people. It's a surprising contrast that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born in a humble place. In fact, in verse 7 again, do you see what it says? And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths. That's what you wrapped the deceased in as you prepared them for burial. There were three times in the Gospels where Jesus is wrapped. The first time is here. He's wrapped as a baby in swaddling cloths. Then we see in John chapter 13, the second time is when he takes off his outer robe and wraps a towel around himself and serves his disciples by washing their feet. Even Judas, who was going to go on and betray him. And then the final time in Mark 15, we see he is wrapped in the swaddling cloths for his burial. What does that mean for us? The royalty and yet humility. Well, for many of us, this time of year may be a difficult time. Maybe there's an empty chair at the table where someone has passed on. Maybe family and friends are so far apart we don't get to see them, and our heart aches and breaks. Maybe we're going through a difficult time of depression or anxiety, and we cry out, does anybody care? Does anybody know what I'm going through? Yes, God understands what you're going through because he knows what it means to come near. In fact, in Hebrews, it says he's experienced all our weaknesses and temptations and yet without sin. He was abandoned. He was rejected. He was beaten. He was alone. He cried. And those are the same things that we experience, and yet God does that. Royalty and humility, what kind of a crazy combination. Well, another crazy combination is glory and obscurity. Glory and obscurity. Verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Can you imagine this? The angel comes and announces in glory, and the glory of the Lord is so powerful that all they could do is shake with fear. In fact, the old King James says they were sore afraid. The glory of God is so bright and so beautiful and so powerful, the only response we have is to fall on our face. And then if you go to verse 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Glory and majesty. Kings were born in glory, and it was announced and heralded in with trumpets and great fanfare. Great celebrations. However, Jesus got none of that. Jesus was born in obscurity. Look at verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. The shepherds weren't in Jerusalem. They weren't in Bethlehem. They weren't in any of those places. They were out in a field away from everybody else. They were the lowest of the low, smelled bad. They were out there all night with these sheep. And they're out there. And yet that's who God chose to receive the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. That's who God chose to announce the birth of the King of Kings, not with fanfare, not with trumpets, not with the French horn, not with any of that, but with just shepherds, people that didn't even matter in society. Beginning in January, we are going to start on Sunday evenings, starting on the 5th, a walk through the Bible. And Jason's going to start in Genesis, and we're going to just start at the beginning. But in Genesis chapter 2, it talks about how we were formed. It said God took the dirt, the dust. He took the dust and he formed it. And then he blew a sacred breath into it. And there's nothing more common than dust. In fact, Margie had me kind of doing stuff around the house to get ready for people that are coming tonight and tomorrow, and you know how people just kind of invade your house. And we live in Georgia. You may try to get away from dust, but we live in Georgia. You're always going to have dust. And if you're a guy, you don't see the dust, I guess, because Margie comes right behind me and tells me you missed the spot. In fact, you missed all the spots. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. And really, I thought if I did such a bad job, she wouldn't ask me to do it again. But she did. You do it till you get it right. I'm like, okay. But is there anything more ordinary than just dirt or dust? That's who we are. And yet, we have the breath of God in us. We are made in His image. And so you have this glory from God, and yet this obscurity of who we are. Let me tell you, you may feel insignificant. You may feel that you're invisible. You may feel that nobody cares. But God comes near. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is inhabiting your story. And that means you are not invisible. It means you do matter. You are not unimportant. Jesus sees you, and his birth is, we see in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, good news of great joy that will be for all people. You, me, all of us. Glory and obscurity. And another one, I think, is the Lord and Savior. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So let's talk about Lord. If you look at the New Testament word for Lord, you can translate it a couple ways. It can mean master. It could mean ruler. It could mean owner. And to those of us in the 21st century, especially here in the West, we're like, ain't nobody the boss of me. I mean, how about if I came up and said, I got good news of great joy. Your master is here. That don't sound good. I mean, because we've just got this whole weird image of what it means to have someone lording over us. But let me transition this and say, what if our Lord was kind? What if he was giving? What if he was like the Lord of Lords? He was different than what we could ever imagine a ruler would be over us. A Savior, someone that is generous and kind and gives us the best of everything. He's prepared a feast for us. He invites us to sit at his table. He gives us the story and the parable of the prodigal son, where the son returns back. And before the boy can even apologize, the dad puts a new robe on him, gives him a new ring, kills a fatted calf, has a party for him. And that's our Lord. He wants the best for us. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for me. Savior, what does it mean to be saved? It means to be rescued. It means to be kept from harm. We use it all the time. We say like, wow, you saved the day. Or, man, you saved our team. You know? I hope Gunnar Stockton will save our team. You know? Save our team. or I just spilled coffee all over my computer, but I saved the files. You know what I mean? Man, some of you young people, y'all don't know what a floppy disk is, but man, that was a lifesaver for many of us. So you typed some stuff and then you saved it. Type, save, because if you didn't save, the computer was always going off and you would lose it all. To be saved. And that's what Christ does for us. He saves us. He's not just Lord over us, but He is our Savior. Ben Affleck has played different superheroes, and probably Batman was one of his most famous, but he is quoted as saying this: "We certainly are in need of heroes. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world, from natural to man-made disasters, and it's really scary. And part of the appeal of this superhero genre is wish fulfillment. Wouldn't it be nice if there was somebody who can save us from all this? Save us from ourselves. Save us from the consequences of our actions. And save us from people who are evil." And he's talking about like a Batman or a Superman. But there is somebody that saves us from all of that. And his name is Jesus. And we celebrate his birth today, tonight, here. This is a gift that God has given us, and He wants us to receive this gift. The glorious God, the royal God, the Lord, my God, my Savior, He came humbly because He cares about us. One of the biggest gifts that people give nowadays are gift cards. You know, you don't know what to get people. It's, I don't know, I'll get you a gift card. But it is estimated here in America that over millions of dollars are unspent on the gift cards every year. Now, some people put it in a drawer, forget about it. Some people just, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to go eat there, or some. I don't know. But whatever it is, we just don't spend all the money on there. I want to invite you this Christmas, do not leave the gift unspent. Christ came for you and He came for me, and He wants to be a part of our life. So stop living for yourself. And what does that mean? How do we do that? How do we cash in that card? Well, we repent. And to repent means we simply turn around. We're going this way and we just turn around. And we start going the other way. And we cry out to Him and we say, you know, Jesus, I've tried to do stuff on my own. I've tried to be all that I can be. I've tried to do everything that society says I need to do to be something special. And I keep getting knocked down and I keep tripping over myself. And He's saying, stop all that. Here's the gift. Take the gift. Follow me. This Christmas, repent, turn to Christ, and celebrate with us as we trust in Him.